In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jesus said, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Or as another translation puts it, "Cheer up. I am here. Don't be afraid." One of my boyhood memories is sitting in church on sweltering summer days in that long ago time before air conditioning. Now, maybe some of you are that old. But I remember sitting in church, fanning myself with one of those fans that had a picture of Jesus on one side and advertising for a funeral home on the other. Any of you remember that? I remember one scene in particular. Jesus walking on the water, waves up to his knees. Now, this was an Aryan Jesus, not the swarthy, brown-skinned Middle Eastern Jew. He had blue eyes and long blonde hair streaming back in the wind, storm clouds threatening above. And when I looked at that picture on that fan, my reaction was close to that of reading of the feats of Captain Marvel or Superman, only they were much more exciting. This account of Jesus walking on the water has become part and parcel of our everyday vocabulary. It's become part of the imagery we use to depict the impossible. When one wants to point to something which is considered an impossibility, he says, "Well, if he can do that, then he can walk on water." This miracle has become a way of describing some kind of fantastic achievement. And let me tell you one of the tiredest jokes a clergyman is continually subjected to is that of the three clergy fishing and two of them knowing where the stumps were that enabled them to walk on water. You've probably told it. I know I've heard it so many times. Many years ago, when I served a parish in Memphis, the newspaper carried the story of a man who announced that he was going to walk on water. He gave the time and he gave the place, but he never showed up. He later said that someone had shot him in the leg just before his scheduled excursion, and he promised to walk on water at a later date. But he refused to announce the time or place for fear of someone else shooting him. So, with all of the absurdity that's been associated with this miracle, what is it that we can learn from it this morning? A part of our difficulty will be because we have missed the point, because we have emphasized the wrong thing. We have emphasized the wrong thing. There's a story that's told about a man taking his small son with him to Khartoum in the Sudan. Now, if you remember your history, and I'm sure you do, you'll recall that Khartoum is the site of the defeat and death of the famous British General Gordon at the hand of the natives in an uprising against British colonial rule in Egypt and northern Africa. And there is a very famous statue of Gordon, which shows him mounted on his horse. And so the father took his boy to see the statue and told him it was a statue of Gordon. And at the end of the day, he told his son, "Well, you saw Gordon's statue today, and that was something worth seeing and remembering." "Yes," said the small boy, "I like seeing it very much. But tell me, Dad, Who is the man on Gordon's back? To the small boy, the most important thing about the statue was the horse. To him, it was not the statue of a man on a horse. It was a statue of a horse with a man on it. Now, I tell you that old story because it's an example of getting the emphasis all wrong, of letting the unimportant thing overshadow the important. And that's what I think we have done with the miracle of Jesus walking on the water. And the wrong emphasis on a miracle can distort its meaning. Biblical scholars differ concerning this account of Jesus walking on the water. Some say that it is really a resurrection appearance that has been misplaced in the Gospels. Others try to make the case that originally there was no miracle at all. The word epi, E-P-I, in Greek, which has been translated on the sea, can also mean beside the sea. And all that might be true. But the writers of the Gospels saw fit to include this in their accounts of the life of Christ. And so you and I must ask why. It's important for us to remember that a miracle is not magic. The best definition of miracle that I know is this. A miracle is the focusing of God's presence and action amid the events, things, and persons of this world. A miracle is the focusing of God's presence and action amid the events, things, and persons of this world. The importance of this event recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, and John is not to be found by answering questions of when, if, where, how, but why? Why? Something about the divine is being revealed to us here. God is speaking to his people through this story. So what are you and I to learn from it? We should note that in all of the accounts of Jesus walking on the sea, the event occurs just after the feeding of the 5,000. It's one of the signs that Jesus gives to his disciples to reveal something of himself that they had yet to fully realize. And that was that he was Messiah. So what is really being pointed out here in this miracle is the very nature of discipleship. And most of the time, we put the emphasis on the wrong thing, on the walking on water. And we miss what it is saying to us about discipleship. Here, we are being given some insight into our call to follow Jesus. I don't think it's a coincidence that in the collect for this day, we pray that we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal, because that is a prayer for proper perspective. It helps us keep a proper perspective in our lives. Because in our efforts to be disciples, in our efforts to follow Jesus, you and I get distracted, and we just might lose the eternal perspective. You and I begin to notice how hard the wind is blowing, how high the waves are, how rough it is. And you and I just might notice how foolish it all seems sometimes when we try to follow Jesus. Or how frustrating it is or how unrewarding it is, or just how shaky we are. And we become so concerned about ourselves, so distracted, that we sink. Have you ever felt that way sometimes? Sure you have. I think all of us have. And while that is true for us as individuals, it is also true for us as a church. The church gets distracted in its discipleship, and we notice too much wind and waves, such as buildings, bodies, and budgets. We become too aware of those things which are really secondary to our lives together. All these winds of the institution occupy our attention, and we lose sight of our leader, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And we sink into a sea of inconsequence and ineffectiveness. But, and here comes the good news. Remember this. The story tells us of the power of Christ to save us. While we are floundering, while we are helpless, while we are unable to do anything, he comes to us. And his word is spoken to us today as surely as it was on the Sea of Galilee back then. If we will hear it above the wind and waves of our lives. Cheer up. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Amen.